This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Gave it all for us, so surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God. And lifted on high from death to life, forever our God. Servant and King, you rescued the world. This is our God. And freely, freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God, and lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Servant and King, you rescued the world, this is our God. Fall at your feet, I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here. And I will fall at your love that burns with
Thank you that we can be here this afternoon and that we can worship you for who you are. And yes, we've been singing a few songs, but it's still not enough. We want to worship you and we want to praise you. We need eternity for it, Father. You're so great. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. We praise your name. We exalt your name. We glorify your name. We thank you, Father. Because you're a living God and you are giving life. You're giving eternal life. And we do not want to miss that. Thank you, Father, for who you are and who we can be. In the name of Jesus, amen. In our lives, we're all being guided. Something or someone is guiding us, knowingly or unknowingly. Something is telling us, or we are listening to that, and that is showing us where we've got to go. No, it's not my wife. What I'm listening to, God is guiding me. But in some cases it is that there's a certain person in a person's life who's just telling that person to do this, to do that, and that's the person's guide. But we need someone to guide us, specifically what the relationship with God is concerned. We need God to guide us. If we don't have God to guide us and we've got to do it on our own, I don't think it will be that good. We are going to battle. And someone who was aware of it, well aware of it, is David. Psalm 31 verses 3, what he's writing over there. And he's talking to God. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. You just see one verse, but if you go to the background of this psalm, David wasn't in a good situation, in a good spot over there. He had problems with his enemies. If you're a child of God, you've got enemies. He had enemies over there. He had illness. And he was also rejected by friends. And I think if we take a look at our circumstances at the moment, then a lot of your friends you couldn't go and see because the rules and regulations were not allowing you. You also maybe felt that you were rejected by your friends. But then he says, lead me, guide me. He knew where he had to go to. He had to go to God and ask God, lead me and guide me. Isaiah and Jesus, both of them, quoted out of this Psalm 31. So both of them were in situations where they were asking. And the famous words from Jesus when he was on the cross, where he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. People are in situations that they are needing guidance. And what we've read just now is David who was looking for guidance. But it was also a guy with the name of Samson. At a certain time, he also needed guidance because he was blind. He couldn't see anymore. Samson was a son, a Nazarite. His mom was barren. And then the angel of the Lord came, and the angel of the Lord said, you're going to get a son, but you're not going to shave his hair, he's not going to drink any alcoholic drink, and then one or two other things, I'm not quite sure about that. He's a Nazarite. From the womb, he's going to be dedicated to God. And this guy, he got immense strength. What he did with his power is awesome, but he had one problem. And it was ladies. It was I nearly would say a standard problem, if we can talk like that. That was actually his downfall. But he needed someone who was going to guide him. And it was a young man who was with him, and he said, bring me, because he was in the temple of the pagan gods in Gaza, and he said, bring me to those pillars that I can stand over there. And the young guy brought him over there. And then he asked God to receive that power again, which he had lost. Because when he gave that secret to Delilah and said, if my hair is shaven, I will lose my power, I will lose my strength. He did it. And this is when the Philistines got hold of him, when they took his eyes out that he couldn't see anymore. And Samson was asking then the guy, and he said to him, that we can read in Judges 16:26, and Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on him." He was asking God, "Give me the strength again." In effect, he actually was asking God, "Come back again into my life." Because it's written over there that God left him when his hair was shaven off. And that's terrible. If God is leaving you. And then God gave him back the strength. And how he did it, if he did it this way or that way, I don't know. But anyway, the temple fell down. 3,000 people along with him, men and women, they also died. It was the most amount of people what he has killed at one spot. But he also was looking for somebody to guide him because he was blind and he couldn't see. Now, if we're talking about blind, we are staying in Zeist, and there's an institution over there with the name of Bartimaeus. And what they are doing, they're helping the people who have got visual limitations. And they learn that they help them then to get used to it, but they also sometimes learn them how to use a dog so that the dog can show them and can guide them, that they can go to the right places. Because those people don't see anything, the same as Samson. It's totally dark. And then the dog has got to bring them to the place where they've got to be. Now, if I close my eyes for a few moments, and if I'm driving in a car or whatever, then I want to open it again because I want to see where I am. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. But those people cannot. They're continuously in the darkness. They're always in the dark. The one who also was in darkness, but who could see the light, was the blind man whom Jesus healed. He's got exactly the same name, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus heard about it, that Jesus was coming with the disciples to Jericho. He didn't have an SMS or a WhatsApp system at that time, so it was by word of mouth. And he heard the commotion coming. And then he started screaming, and he said, "Jesus is calling you." And then he's doing something which is remarkable. This blind man couldn't see. He could only hear. And he heard Jesus. And he was called that he should go to Jesus. And what he's doing in verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. A garment is showing your status. It was showing that he was blind. It was showing that he was a beggar. He threw it down. The faith that he had in Jesus that he was going to be healed was already there. He threw off that status. He didn't want to be a blind man. He didn't want to be a beggar anymore. We were singing it just now as well. We want to put on what God is putting on us. He threw those garments down. Then he came, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, verse 51, and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, if you read that question the first time, then you think, Jesus, come on. This is obvious. If you find a guy in a desert and you can see that he hasn't got anything with him, then you're not going to ask the guy if he needs water. You give him water because you can logically think out that's what he needs. It's the same with Jesus over here. Jesus is asking him now, "What do you need?" Now, Jesus is Son of Man and Son of God. Jesus knew what he needed. He wanted to hear it. And then the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Rabboni, immediately recognizing who Jesus is, he's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he's got knowledge, he's got a status. "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Because this guy had faith. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. It's awesome what happened over here with Bartimaeus. He was hearing God's voice and he was reacting on it. And he was leaving his current status behind. He didn't want to be a beggar anymore. He didn't want to be a blind man anymore. And he had trust in Jesus, trust in God. And then the change came. From a beggar from a blind man, he became a follower of Jesus. Jesus was guiding him now. Jesus was leading him now into his life. And there we can see a type of a process out of the darkness into the light. We've got the same in our life, spiritual life. We also have got those situations that we are moving from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. And we as a church are aware of that process where each and every one is busy with, because we're all on different stages. But we would like to help you as far as possible. If you may be still in the darkness, we would like to tell you about Jesus and light. And God is light. You can read it in John. And if you say, yes, I'm on my way and I'm trying to, in the process of sanctification, I want to grow in that process, we would like to help you. We've got the church services over here, what we are here, what we get together as believers. So if there are unbelievers, please bring them along, that they can be with believers around here, that they can experience the light, that they can see how we are singing. We're not just singing for the screen, but we're singing for God who is with us, the presence of God which is with us. We've got the small groups, what we heard as well with the announcements just now. Different places where you can get together. And if the people are not getting together, then you can come together one-to-one with one-one, because that is possible. Accountability partners, that you can share life, is what is said as well. Then we've got the encounters. The encounter 4, which is coming in this coming Friday. The encounter, the first one, which is about life. Spiritual life. The second one, which is about home. The third one about legacy. The fourth one about deliverance. And then there's a fifth one as well, share, which we're not really focusing a lot on, but which is very important. We've done it a few times only. And then we've got Bible school. God's word in your world. So it's not a matter of that you're going to study something and then you're going to get home. No, you take it and you apply it into your own circumstances. That's where we as Shofar would like to be helping you, where we would like to help you in that process. Because somewhere you are in that process. I'm also somewhere in that process. And if you say, well, I've done everything. I'm coming to church on a Sunday. I'm going to small group. I've done all the encounters. I've done the Bible school. Thank you. Then you can come and you can facilitate. Then you can help us. Then you can help and preach. Then you can help with facilitating at the encounters or facilitating Bible school or whatever it is. There's no ceiling. And if you've done that as well, then we will plant a church with you somewhere. But we will get you, we will keep you busy. You're somewhere in the process. And when I was busy with this, with the sermon, then I saw a light. And not a light like what we've got over here, which you can switch on and off, but a light, a typically old light which needs oil. And if I remember well just now, we've been singing about it as well. And the light is needing oil. If you do not give it continuously oil, there's no light anymore. And our spiritual life is exactly the same. If we are not continuously busy with God's word, going to church, small group, encounters, Bible school, we're basically taking the oil away from the light. And at a certain stage, there is no light anymore. Then you've got to come back and we've got to relight you. We've got to get you back again and get the light going again. God wants to use us in that process and he wants to guide us. And then the process where we're going to is going to eternal life. Now, eternal life is so easy said, but what does it actually mean? What is included in it? And I felt that this afternoon I just have got to touch it a little bit. I think you can maybe have a whole death. Straightforward. There's not much more which we can expect if we keep on sinning. We've got to get rid of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then our sins are not counting against us anymore. And God is giving us then that eternal life, the gift of eternal life. And when does it start? As soon as you accept Jesus Christ. So eternal life is a present reality. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Your eternal spiritual life is starting. The second is also that it is a future hope. Galatians 6 verses 8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And again, but he who sows, who is going to be guided, who is going to live and walk as what the Spirit is guiding them, will reap everlasting life. So it's also a future hope. And it's not the hope that we're saying, okay, I hope that tomorrow it's not going to rain. No, that's not a hope. The hope that we've got is a surety, a trust. The same as the blind man who stood up and took off his garment. He knew he was going to be healed. Jesus was going to heal him. He had that faith. He had that trust. And that's what we can have in the promise, in that gift from God as well, that we're going to get eternal life. Experiencing eternal life, now or forever, is dependent on living by the power, the direction, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read it again. Experiencing eternal life, the now and the forever, is depending on living by the power and the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So how important is that we are going to allow the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are going to seek the Holy Spirit, that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit, that we are having that eternal life. If we want to experience that eternal life, we cannot experience it without the Holy Spirit. It is part of it. It's included in it. And we need God's guidance. And God is guiding us through the Holy Spirit. One person who experienced it was Philip. When the Holy Spirit spoke to him, he was obedient when the Holy Spirit spoke to him. In Acts 8, verses 29 to 31, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. How we've done it, I don't know. He's maybe been running or cycling, maybe had an electrical bike, I don't know. But he was overtaking that chariot. So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? We nearly would say, this guy is intruding a little bit. Which would mean if somebody is sitting and reading a book, and you're going to sit next to him, and you say, do you know what you're reading? It's a little bit intrusive. It is, you're getting into that small world of that guy. But the Holy Spirit told him. And that's why Philip was obedient. And Philip did what the Holy Spirit told him. And yes, we're going to experience it in our lives as well, that the Holy Spirit is giving you a certain instruction. And you say, but I can't do that. I can't force myself into that person's life. But the Holy Spirit has spoken. Do it. Because God also, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to that person. That person is also receptive to hear what you're bringing. Do you understand what you're reading? The guy could have said, leave me alone. But he was searching. He was needing someone. And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? Unless someone guides me, then I can understand what I'm reading. And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The word guides over there is that he's going to show, that he's going to lead that person. And in the word guide, there's also the word conductor. Now, we've got music people around here. Now, if you're a conductor, you're having an orchestra, and you are conducting. Now, if those people who are having the music instruments are not going to be guided by the conductor, they're playing a certain type of music we've never heard before. It's needed that they must listen all to the conductor, because the conductor has got a plan. The conductor knows who has got to play when, what type of tune, and so on. And together, it makes a beautiful sound. It's included in it. This is what God wants to be. He wants to be our guide. He wants to be our conductor. He wants to lead us. The word guide is also what we see in a director, in a type of a manager. We can see that as well. Those who are in business or are working for someone, they know if your senior is saying a certain thing and you're doing another thing, then quickly you will have a problem over there. But if there's a plan what the owner of the business has got, and he gives instructions, and everyone is guided by those instructions, then the things are happening. Then the things are working over there. The word guide has a beautiful meaning in it. And Philip was obedient. He heard the Holy Spirit and he reacted. And we have got to hear God's voice to react. Because God wants to guide us. So we've got to see God's face that we can hear his voice. Because he says in John 10 verses 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them that they follow me. Confirming that God is speaking to us. We cannot ignore that. It's not to say that it is only for a certain people who've maybe completed Bible school or they were going each and every Sunday to church that God is speaking to them. No, God is speaking to each and every one. And he wants to speak to each and every one. John 16, verses 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. Speaking to the unbeliever. He is speaking to the unbeliever. When you started believing, when you were converted, you reacted on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't wait first to you to become a believer. No. The Holy Spirit spoke to you and then you became a believer. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to unbelievers and to believers. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of the sin of what is happening in our lives. And the Holy Spirit wants to, as Christians, he wants to teach us, he wants to guide us, he wants to help us. But there's a problem if blocking the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning, I actually couldn't figure it out what God actually meant over there. But then he showed it to me. Sin. Sin is blocking the working of the Holy Spirit. Sin, an English word, is very easy. S-I-N. And the middle one, the I, that's the easiest to remember. The I, the me, and the myself. If I'm sinning, it's about things which are going to benefit me. Then it's about me. And that's not correct, because I shouldn't be the most important. God should be the most important in my life. And then I've got to repent of my sin. And when I'm repenting of my sin, then I say, Lord, I'm acknowledging that it's about me. It shouldn't be about me. It should be about you. We've been singing it just now, and we should be singing it into eternity. It's all about God. We've got to praise his name. We've got to glorify his name. Sin is blocking the working of the Holy Spirit. Now you say, oh, now you're condemning us. No. Take your time. Go into your inner room. Spend time with God. Ask him to show which things there are between you and him, which still has got to be taken away, that the Holy Spirit can speak into your life. And that's part of that process where we've been talking about, that sanctification process, that you can hear God's voice and that God can speak into your life. I want to summarize it. We all have got or somebody or something which is leading our life, which is guiding our life. We spoke about it. But I'm asking you the question this afternoon. Who's guiding your life? Who's leading your life? And I had to ask that same question to me. So actually, I should put up a mirror over here and I'm preaching to myself as well. What's guiding me? What's leading me? What's helping me to go through life? What's helping me in a relationship with God? What is going on over there? Because God wants to, he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. I want to read a part out of one verse out of Isaiah 58, verses 11. If you've got time, go and read the whole 58 at home. It's talking about, it starts with it, it's talking about sin. And that we've got to call sin, sin, And we've got to speak about it as well. Even that far, that it is asking that the ministers and the messengers of the word should point it out to people as well, if they are sinning. And if we're doing that, then God is giving 7 promises. And I'm only going to read the 6th promise, which is there. But if you've got time, like I said, go and read it at home. The Lord will guide you continuously and satisfy your soul in droughts and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fall. This is what's happening. If we are going to take time and get rid of our sin, take time with God and get what is in between us and God, that we get it out of the way, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us, that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. We've got to seek God, and we've got to accept God, not on our conditions. It is happening many times that if a person is guiding us or leading us, then we actually want to tell that person how he's got to give that instruction to us. And maybe we're doing it in our prayers as well, that we're instructing God what he has got to do. We cannot instruct God. We can just hear from God how he wants to use us for his kingdom. That we also can go, like Jesus asked that person, how do you want to be helped? What can I do for you? That we can also be in the world like that, and that the Holy Spirit and the power of God can work through us, and that we can trust God. Like that one verse said as well, he will guide you in all truth. And God is truth, for he will not speak his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will hear, and he will tell of the things to come. Guide me, O Lord. When I got that title, I thought, what is it exactly what he wants me that I should bring? And then he gave me the bits and pieces, and I put it together, and it's a little bit of a puzzle, you can actually say. But it's telling us that we've got to seek God's face. We've got to be in a process. It's necessary. We cannot just walk out of it. We cannot just make it a Sunday and then we've got a meeting with God and then the rest of the week we're gone again. We're continuously busy with God. It's like that light. Each and every day we've got to put oil on that light to keep that light burning. As what Banish also spoke about last week. Keep your light burning. Keep that process continuously going. Guide me, O Lord. Let's pray. Father, guide me. Guide us. That we can become quiet in our inner room. That we can listen to what you want to share with us. And Father, if there are things which are sins which we're still busy with, Father, that you're going to point it out to us. That we can accept it, Jesus, yet, who is not in the light as yet. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit is going to stir that person's heart. That the person says, yes, I want to stand up. The same as that blind man, I want to take my coat as unbeliever, I want to take it off. I want to be a believer, I want to be a follower of Christ. And maybe there's one here this afternoon, and as all eyes are closed, I'm asking if there's anyone who feels that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that you've got to take this afternoon that decision to follow him, to be guided by him, and I'm asking to raise your hand. Thank you, Father, that as I see no hands, that I trust, Father, that each and every one is already busy with that process with you, Father, that they're already busy with listening to you, of how you are going to speak into their lives. We thank you, Father, that you're always available, that we always can come, and that we always can ask anytime, guide me, Lord, lead me, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Facebook Live people are going to leave us now, and we're going to have communion over here. And just wait 1 or 2 seconds. We're going to have communion, but we're going to have a little bit different as normal. So what I'm going to ask is, with the current corona regulations in sight, that you're going to look for another person in this church, preferably someone who you do not know. Male, male, female, female. You're going to get the symbols over here, and you're going to sit, and you're going to have communion together. But I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to pray and ask God to give you a word or a picture for that other person. Now, you must probably say, this is where I didn't want to come to church for. This is exactly where you've got to be. If you're feeling uncomfortable, then it's not you in control anymore. Then you give it over to the Holy Spirit to come into control. Pray. Ask God. Say, Lord, is there anything what I must say to the other person? Is there a picture what you've got for that other person? And if there's nothing, it's not that bad. Don't feel bad about it. But if there's something, even if you get a picture which you say, I don't know what, or this morning when I woke up, I got a certain song in my head, but I don't know where I got that song or why I've got that song, then mention it to the other person. Whatever is coming up, share it with the other person. Trust that God is going to give you a word for that other person. And then I'm going to ask, when you've got something and when you shared it, speak a blessing over the other person. We're hardly doing it. But we can, each and every one, we can bless. Those who are married, I trust that you are blessing your wife each and every day. Those who have got children, I trust that you bless your children each and every day. It's necessary to do it. You can see my wife, how good she looks like. I'm blessing her each and every day. It's necessary to do. And God is giving us that opportunity. Bless the other person. Bless the other person and speak a blessing over the person for the second part of the year. Whatever it is, what God is putting in your mind, what you've got to speak, just speak it out. Because I really trust, and I've been praying for it as well, that the Holy Spirit is going to move this afternoon, meaning that there are going to be certain people who are going to receive a message or a picture what they've never received before. But we're making opportunity and we're making space for it this afternoon, that the Holy Spirit can work over here.
Staring at the beauty of our King. You are.
'Cause you are beautiful in all your ways. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed, mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. 'Cause you are beautiful in all your ways.
I knew this can explode if I say something wrong, and I'm not always so super handy with words. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and Friday morning God just shared with me and said, you share these three sentences, you say these three sentences. And it was so cool what he said. And I wrote it, and the whole thing calmed down, and it was just over. And I really want to say that we need to hear God's voice. We need to ask Him. And you can ask a fellow believer, say, pray with me, because sometimes I also don't trust it, especially if it's so close to my heart. Then I think, oh, I'm far too prejudiced. I hear what I want to hear. And it's not necessarily what God wants to say. But I just want to say, when God tells you where is the way, it's perfect. It's just perfect. So push in, make effort. It's worth it.
I think let's just keep singing the song a bit and then just completely focus on God and just be in wonder of Him and just open up your hearts and let the words come from your heart and not just from your head and your mouth. 'Cause you are beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you're there, that you're so much greater than we can know, and that we can set our eyes on you, Lord. And oh, thank you, Lord. And Father, I ask that you will take every blessing that was spoken tonight, Lord, and that you will make it bear fruit, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.